Welcome back to another episode of the Property Management Show, where we deep dive into the world of property management, entrepreneurship, and owner marketing. Your hosts are Marie Tepin and Brittany Jones from 4&Half Marketing Agency. Since 2012, 4&Half has helped hundreds of property managers just like you get more owner leads through marketing. Whether you need help with your website, SEO, online reputation, email marketing, social media, content like videos or blogs, even paid advertising like pay-per-click on Google or Bing, we can help you. We can do it all. Visit our website, 4&Half.com, to learn more. That's FourandHalf.com. So today on the show, we are welcoming PJ Clay, who is the Director of Client and Partner Services at Rental Beast. Now, PJ's been with that company for, I think, almost a decade, and he's been helping real estate professionals leverage technology to enhance the leasing side of their business. We are so glad to have you here on the show, PJ.
Thank you, Marie and Brittany. Thank you. Yes, pumped to be here. You guys serve a very important role in the PM community with this podcast, so very excited to be on it. Thank you for having me.
I'm glad. And so to start us off, you know, can you please share with our professional property managers in our audience what Rental Beast is and like what do you guys do?
Yeah, good question. You don't get it from the name, yes. So Rental Beast, we do a few different things. So we call ourselves the Rental MLS. And so we provide back-end technology to MLSs and associations across the United States and Canada. So you've got, if you think about kind of the technology for the MLSs, you've got these core MLS platforms like Matrix, CoreLogic, Black Knight, Paragon, FBS, et cetera. And they're phenomenal platforms. They are highly configurable, highly customizable, but they are built really for the for sale side. That's kind of how it all started. And what we noticed was, you know, rentals are different. The rental listing, the rental process, the rental client, it's different than the for sale side. And so over the last couple of years, we've built essentially the back end tech that integrates directly with these MLSs for the MLS members to more easily add or edit rental listings or search for rental listings. So you can think of us really as kind of like a back end technology solutions for rentals for the MLSs. That's kind of the core piece. The second piece is we have, you know, and part of those tools is a productivity suite of tools that makes it, I guess, easier or, you know, helps the rental transaction. So we've got lead generation, lead qualification, an application tool, really kind of those rental processes type things that you'd need. And at the core of that is a very large database of rental listings. We've got about access to about 12 million listings in the United States and Canada. Anywhere, we've got somewhere around, you know, 400,000 active rental listings in our system at any point. And that is really kind of a core piece of our technology. We bring in the MLS listings, off MLS listings, property management software listings, all into one database so members can get as close as they can get to, you know, 100% of the available market in one space. So that's a little bit, that's about what Rental Beast does.
That's great. And so can you share a bit more about like which areas you guys are available? I mean, I don't think you're in every single state yet of the US, right?
No. We're all, no, not yet. So we work with all sorts of different MLSs. So you've got MLS PIN up in Boston, MRED in Chicago, Triangle MLS out in Raleigh, North Carolina. We've got the Miami Association of Realtors. We work with the California Association of Realtors. We work in Colorado Springs and Toronto. So we actually launched them in last year, which is exciting. Nova Scotia. So we're all over the United States. I think it ends up being about 25 to 30 different MLS or associations across the country and actively growing. So, you know, I think what the demand for this platform has really increased over the last year or so, or really 2-3 years, just because of the for sale side got very unaffordable for many people to buy houses. So the rental side, you know, people have to live somewhere. So if they're not buying houses, mm-hmm. without living with family members, they are renting. And so, you know, having the technology for real estate professionals, real estate agent, realtors to actually do that rental process a little bit easier is what has happened, and we've seen growth because of it.
Yeah, and so you were talking about how the core of it all is like this big database, right? And how kind of the aim is provide a database that's as close to like 100% of the rental market as possible. And so can you share a bit more about like where that data comes from and how reliable is it? Like, are you just scraping the internet for listings that already exist elsewhere?
Scraping. Oh, I hate that word, but no. So I think like it's important to kind of like zoom out a little bit. So when you think about the rental market, like it is a very fragmented market. It's not like the for sale side. So on the for sale side, you've got anywhere between like 80, 90% of the available homes for sale are listed on an MLS, right? That's like the core part of the MLS. You know, you're going to go there, those listings get transmitted to Zillow and some of the other sites. Rental side's not like that. It really depends on the market, but in some cities and metros, you literally cannot put a listing on the MLS. There is no rental class. In some areas, you end up having 40% of the rental market on there. So it's a pretty fragmented market. You've got the MLS side, you've got the big listing sites, and even those, differ between site to site. And then you've got a lot of the listings that are housed in these property management softwares. So, we actually started as a database company of trying to build this database of rental listings. So we as a brokerage, and I'm talking like 10 years ago, could use. That's how this company started. And this database has grown into really our crown jewel. So we bring in rentals from all over the place. Again, we work with the MLSs, so we get those listings in. We integrate with the property management softwares. And that means and I'm sure a bunch of your listeners, they're using a PM software, AppFolio, Yardi, Rentec, Buildium. For most of the big PM softwares, RentalBeast is a syndication destination for those listings. So for some, like AppFolio, you just opt into all of the syndications. But for, let's say, I believe Buildium, you actually have to go in and select RentalBeast. So we'll actually get those listings that way. And then the other piece, which is, I think, the hardest piece to get, is all of these off MLS, off PM software listings that RentalBeast has people and technology to go out and find these listings. It took us, 10 years to build this process is the right way. We are literally calling people to get their information off these listings. Every single listing that does not come from an MLS or a property management software, we have to physically talk with the property owner or property contact for that listing to go active. So you think about that, that's like, it's an enormous undertaking. It took us a long time to figure out how to do that. But because we can do it, it means we drastically reduce the chances of scams. Everything is scammable, but we've done a phenomenal job of trying to reduce that because we have to talk with every single person. We also get super good listing details on these listings. So is there an agent compensation fee? What's the showing instructions? How do you get an application? All the information that typically is not listed, we are physically getting and then adding into our listing details section. And we keep it updated. So every single listing in our system is updated every 1 or 2 weeks, depending on the location. And if we can't get, a verbal confirmation or a physical confirmation that the rental is still active, we just drop the listing. So it is an enormous undertaking. I feel like I just oversimplified it, but it's a big database of listings.
No, it sounds very complicated. It doesn't sound simple at all.
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, we've got little bots screwing the internet. We've got people. It's a pretty immense operation.
And so I remember that in a previous conversation we had, PJ, you mentioned that majority of the listings that are already on RentalBeast are not managed by professional managers or even like real estate professionals. Like most of them are managed by whoever owns the property, I guess, or maybe a relative, but not professionally managed. So can you talk more about that? Like, does it just have to do with the areas that you're present in, or do you feel like that's representative of kind of the overall market?
That's a great question. I think it's hyperlocal, to be honest. So I'm in Boston, from Boston, and the concept of a property management firm, kind of how I think we think about it. Now, there's not a ton out here, and I'm not sure why that is. It's a lot of people who maybe own a few rental listings themselves and actually do all the rental process, or they have a leasing agent, like an agent to come on and try to market that listing. But the actual management, like the accounting, the bookkeeping, the maintenance requests, all that sort of stuff is done by the individual owner. And that is, I think, very different from probably some of the more modern areas of the country, you know, like the Arizonas and, you know, the Southwest United States. That seems to have a much bigger, I guess, percentage of listings that seem to be professionally managed. I'm not sure why that is, but yeah, I mean, we have a lot of listings in the system that do not seem to be professionally managed, do not have a property manager on the other side, best we can tell. Okay. I was just looking up stats actually today on this. I think it said like 40% of rentals are owned and operated by mom and pop shops, right? So that could be a small PM, but we're not talking about these large professionally managed listings. So my guess is it's pretty hyper-local.
That is interesting, because if you think about it too, it's like we don't have a lot of clients in the Boston area too. So I feel like that's kind of like an indicator right there. Like we, you know, we have clients across the US and in Canada sometimes also. But something we've been talking a lot about is there, we really don't have a lot of clients in the Northeast. So it's interesting that like data point aligns with what we're seeing too.
Yeah. It would also be curious too on like the terminology used too, right? Like you definitely have people who are, you know, have, let's say 100 doors or so, and may not consider them a property manager because they also own the listings versus necessarily the management side. So it may be a terminology thing. I don't know. But
that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because even NARPM, right? Like NARPM is like the biggest trade association for property managers, and their presence is, you know, close to none. I mean, they recently established a chapter in that general, it's like Philadelphia area, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's very recent, just in the last year. And so on the one hand, you could argue that like, maybe it's just like, you know, uncharted waters, or maybe just the market is totally different.
Mm-hmm. I do not know. I think it could also be a location thing and proximity. One thing that we found, which may have to do with it, there's a concept in rentals, and this is not necessarily, I don't think, what I would consider property management, but this concept of leasing and locating. And leasing and locating. Have you heard that term before?
I haven't.
No, I haven't either.
Educate us. Tell me more.
So this came into where I found this was in Texas and Atlanta areas. And it was the concept that you as a real estate agent may not have to be at the showing for you to get paid for these properties. And the reason this started becoming a thing was because of how just spread out the metros are. Like if you're trying to go from different parts of, let's say, Dallas, it might take you 45 minutes, 60 minutes just to go from a place to place. So it could also be that from a property management standpoint, you know, like because Boston is all so close, it may be easier for the owners to do it. I don't know, but that just kind of came to mind.
Yeah. And so now I have a quite controversial question. So what would you say to property managers who consider rental beasts or this rental MLS as a threat to the property management industry? Because on the one hand, it's great to have like a single source of data that potentially is more complete, but at the same time, you also offer solutions that make it like super easy for someone who doesn't really know what they're doing to just like list a property, self-manage, and then maybe give property management as an industry a bad rap?
Yeah, that is a controversial question. I would say, first of all, we as Rental Beast are not trying to be a property management software, full stop. We have no interest in getting into that game. Those systems, you know, we've got the accounting, the bookkeeping, the tax, the rent reports, all of that stuff that we do not have. And we are not trying to go and build those products whatsoever. Now, we're very friendly with the PM softwares. We integrate with them. We work with them. But we are not trying to build a PM software. I think the part of the market that you know, from the rental MLS where it came from was there are a large amount of real estate agents and realtors who are not doing property management, because first of all, property management is very hard. Like, it is time consuming. It's a hard business to get into. I've seen and talked with tons of property managers. You know, you are busting your butt to do that. And if you're a real estate agent or a realtor just doing a rental here or there, you know, listing a rental, you know, that's more of what our tools are geared toward on the application side and lead generation side, not necessarily like the full on, you can run a PM shop with rental lease. That's not what we're trying to be. And so why we have, I guess, seen a lot more people use the system is on for a realtor or agent who is typically been in the for sale side and now sees their business like mightily struggling because of how unaffordable it is. Those people have moved into rentals, to really continue that relationship with those would be buyers, help them find a rental. So in a year or two, they built that trust up and go help them find a home for sale. In addition, potentially list some property rentals. So that's been kind of a natural shift. And I think that's some of why the MLSs, and associations have started working with us, is because they need to be able to offer their membership, you know, the rental technology to really keep business afloat. So for the PMs who think we're trying to come in, that is not our, we are not trying to do that. We love you guys. We want to work with you. We've got tools that are specific to you that I think can really complement and make your business more efficient, like the claims listings that we've talked about. So for property managers who are in the areas that we are live, we talked earlier about we integrate with the PM softwares. So when a listing, let's say you use AppFolio or Buildium, when a listing you syndicate from Buildium or AppFolio, we get a copy of that listing and we're able to auto match you, that listing, with you as an MLS member. So that listing is ready for you to activate and get onto the MLS. And so why did we do this? Well, one of the main issues we heard from PMs when, you know, a couple of years ago was they are not adding, or not all of them, but there's a lot of rental listings that are, you know, listed by PMs that never make it to the MLS. And the reason is you got dual entry going on. You've got your property management software that you're using, basically it's the backbone of your business. The MLS potentially becomes a bit of an afterthought. So how can we make that easier to really bridge that gap? So you as a PM can not only, we don't want to like increase, you know, the business you got to do, but make it easier for that listing to get onto the MLS. So that listing can, you know, enjoy all the benefits of being an MLS member, extra syndication, maybe showing time, whatever you want to use. And so this claims listings technology really came out of it, where a PM who uses a software we've integrated with can automatically claim their listings, add a few pieces of information to that listing, and get it active. And I was working with somebody who was able to claim 20 listings in about 30 minutes and get those active. You would not be able to do that traditionally.
Manually,
so, yeah, manually, right? You could not do it. So that's a big piece of technology that we built specifically for the PMs to just make their lives more, you know, efficient and easier.
Yeah, and I think it's also kind of good timing that this technology has come to fruition, because we've been hearing certain pockets of the country struggling with getting renters interested in, you know, the properties. And so that's causing a lot of shift in like rental, days on market, and, you know, having to do concessions even just to get demand going. What can you say about that?
Great question. So I can actually say a lot about that. we just released a shameless plug. We just released our 2023 market report. And we can actually put a link in to somewhere for listeners to get their own report. But a few different things. So I think from rental prices, I think are going to be very interesting in 2024. There does not actually seem to be a consensus when you look at a lot of different sites that track this of what's going to happen. Based off the data we have and what we're predicting, we may see slight increases in rental prices. However, you look at some of the other, you know, big websites, they are predicting lower prices or nothing. And I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. The big variable is going to be the additional multifamily supply that comes in the market in 2024. There is a robust amount of rentals coming on in 2024. And my guess is it's going to be pretty hyper-local in terms of what you see for rent prices. You know, like basic supply and demand would say if you bring on more apartments, bring on increased supply, you should see prices go down, right? But there very well still could be this pent-up demand that's been there just because, again, the for sale side is just so unaffordable. So I am not sure. In terms of the specific questions you asked, we have something that's called, and it's part of the report, it's called the sentiment report. And so we are like physically surveying property managers, property owners, property contacts about what they think is going to happen in 2024. 75% of those survey express belief that rents will remain unchanged. So that's pretty interesting. That's overall. When you look at the individual markets, we see some pretty big variability in terms of what they think. For applications, 26% of those surveyed believe the number of applications for their renters are going to decrease. So you've got basically a fourth saying that we're going to have less leads coming through. The other big piece that's starting to come through, like you said, is this concessions. And the concessions are wildly market driven. There are a bunch of different markets that we surveyed that were in that 30 to 40% of active listings are offering some sort of concession. I mean, that's a lot, right? That's a way to artificially create demand. And you've got almost half of listings trying to artificially create demand in some of these markets versus a Boston, only 8% of listings, active listings, are offering some sort of concession. So, you know, I think it was pretty, you know, when you go back to like 2021, 2022, you saw this just massive rise pretty much across the board of rent prices. Didn't really matter where you were. My guess is that we're going to get back more of that to that kind of really local market dynamics that's going to decide kind of what's happening on the rent prices and the concessions and the sentiment side. That's based off what we're seeing. And, you know, like, it's just, there's a lot of differences, especially on the supply side, that's going to change what's locally happening.
Yeah. It's really interesting how, you know, like the vast difference between like Boston, only 8% of active rentals have concessions versus like a 40% in another market. Out of curiosity, did you guys look at like the correlation between how many, what percent of rental listings have concessions versus the average days on market in those specific markets?
That is a great thing. I don't think we actually did, or if it is, it's in the other part of the report. I don't think we did look at that. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, that would be really interesting because it's like maybe, you know, like, yeah, I have no idea. Like, are like demands still kind of strong in Boston? Because there are many like universities around there. So it's like if most of the rental market is student housing, then regardless of economics, students are going to go to school versus maybe like more vacation-y places, right? It might be people are trying to save money. They're kind of still scared of the economy. They don't know what's going to happen. So they're trying to stay put.
Yeah. So to give you some specifics, I pulled it up. So quarter four of last year, 35% of listings in Atlanta that we surveyed were offering concessions. You've got about 18% in Chicago. The national median based off our data was 18%. So below that 18%, you've got Miami, Washington, Cleveland, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Boston, pretty much the East Coast, right? Hmm. And then you've got above it, Atlanta, Raleigh, Sacramento, San Diego, Colorado Springs. So it is, you know, there's obviously something at play with the East Coast versus, I guess, the West Coast and just how spread out these markets are. It's interesting data.
Yeah, super interesting. And then I wanted to kind of touch on, you know, like the for rent by owner again. I know that we mentioned earlier in the discussion the fact that a lot of the active listings on your platform are not professionally managed. And, you know, like on the one hand, you know, you can look at it in a different light, which is like kind of a blue ocean, kind of like you can target these people who aren't using professional property managed services You know, like if I'm a property manager, I'd be like, oh, that's great. Furbos, right? And so it's a topic close to our heart because it happens to be like owner lead generation, which is like what Four and a Half basically does. So, you know, using Furbos to get owner leads is not brand new information. I distinctly remember even as far back as 2016, I was working on a blog talking about Furbos as like a growth hack for property managers, right? So it's definitely not new. But back then, you would have to go to things, to sites like Craigslist or like the various hyperlocal Furbo websites to manually get the owner's information. And then you'd have to like call them and make sure they're not scams, yada, yada, yada. And I know you can also buy like databases from things like pmleads.com. And so if what you're claiming is like you guys have figured out a way to basically capture all those, you know, spread out Furbos into kind of like one database, then are property managers already using your platform to basically, you know, do lead generation, owner lead generation?
Great question. Yes, they absolutely are. And it's obviously, we've got to have a partnership with the MLS. That's how we go live in these markets or the association. But yeah, absolutely. I think there's a few advantages to the database. So we try to get as close as we can to 100% of availability. You know, the reality is it'll probably somewhere between 70 to 80% of active units. That's typically where we end up, we think we are. And again, all of those rental listings are going to be as close as we can get to verified. Like we know who the property contact is. We know the listing information. We're doing all of that hard work for you to go find all these rental listings from all the different other websites. There are some that are exclusively with us. You know, we get newspapers in there. It depends on the market and we're going to do the hard work for you. But the other nice piece is you can, you know, again, real estate's local. And so some, you know, PM firms might be specializing in certain parts of the city. Maybe they don't, or the metro. Maybe they don't want to go to like, you know, the east side or the west side or wherever it is. And you can set up alerts in our system. So you will only get notified of when a new listing that fits the criteria that you care about comes in the market. And so that's a very nice way that we have found people and PMs and, you know, agents use our tool to try and increase their portfolio. It's by targeting the properties that they know that they can work with. And also, you know, because you're getting this, you're seeing these listings updated very regularly. If you see a listing that, and we were just talking with somebody actually like a few weeks ago about this, a property manager saw a listing that did not have photos. And so they reached out to the property and was like, hey, you don't have photos. I'd be happy to come like take some photos for you and get it on the MLS or get it uploaded. And that sort of thing, you can get very specific off of what you're looking for. You can even, you know, run searches based off of days on market. So it's easier for PMs and people who want to do rentals to really filter for the listings that they want to represent. And then obviously whatever sort of outreach they're going to do, hopefully they're using Four and a Half to do their marketing services, to then pick up those rent by owner listings.
That's great. And so, you know, are there other like data or trends that you guys found that, you know, property managers, professional property managers would find useful as they kind of, you know, go through 2024 and then figure out their, you know, owner lead generation, also tenant lead generation for the rest of the year and beyond?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about some of the trends. I think what the most important thing to do is make sure you've got your, and this is going to sound kind of like no duh, but get your rent price where you think it actually should be. And we're seeing just wildly fluctuating prices. And it comes back to the rental market being fragmented. If you are using, you know, a smaller set of data to price your rental, then yeah, you're probably going to have an actual differentiating price than what the regular market's doing. You know, your rental is not just competing with the data sets you have, it's competing with the entire market. So being able to ensure you've got the largest, you know, rental database listings that you can get to run those pricing, I think is going to be really important. Additionally, understand, and I'm sure, you know, most PMs understand this and just people doing rentals, you know, your rental listing is competing with the entire market. So even if it's not necessarily a single family rental, you know, there might be a big multifamily, you know, new building that comes up down the street, it's going to impact your rental. So you have to be able to just, you know, understand the dynamics at play. And I think because of the supply that's coming on, you've got to be hypersensitive to the price of what you're listing at and making sure that you're doing the best job possible and marketing it, you know, the way you want it to. But it would not surprise me if we see some, you know, different, you know, differentials and pricing changes this year in very local markets. So you got to be careful on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. You brought up the fact that there's a lot of new developments. And I think there was because of this backlog during like the COVID pandemic years, mm-hmm. where like, you know, everyone was scrambling and, you know, everything was expensive and then you didn't have the labor. There was a big labor shortage. And then only now is the building side kind of catching up. So you have all these units coming live all at the same time when they were supposed to kind of be staggered. And so it's like just focusing on the single family rental market, if that's your niche, may not be enough because you need to look at the market as a whole. And I think in your report somewhere, you had this comparison between like affordability of single family rentals versus multifamily and how one way to kind of be more competitive is to maybe allow joint leases or like roommate sharing because you can effectively compete with maybe a multifamily that way. I mean, obviously it depends on your market, right? But that's one of the ideas that I got from the report.
Yeah, no doubt. The other good piece of news for PMs, obviously you care much about getting, you know, heads in beds. It is still, and probably will be for a while, unaffordable to buy a house. So, mm-hmm. you know, there is going to be this robust demand of people wanting to rent. It's just, that's the market we're in right now. And obviously it depends again, you know, where you're at, but there is demand for rentals. There will continue to be demand for rentals, and you know, just make sure you're pricing at what is competitive.
That's great. And so, if people want to like check out Rental Beast or maybe get a copy of a report, is it going to be on your website?
Yes. So we are redoing the website, which is exciting, and that's going to be coming out, I think, in the next few weeks. But the report, yes. So we are going to be doing these, I believe, every quarter, and eventually move into every month. You can get to the report. It's called the Rental Expert Series. And there's actually two things that come with it. Not only do you get the market report, and there are about a dozen or so specific like markets or cities that we go into, then you get the all market report. We also have a webinar series that is with different professionals, actually a few property manager specific webinars that have been going on too. So it's a great series for anybody in the industry. And that is all available. I believe you can get to it from rentalbeast.com or will be very soon. So yeah.
That's great. Thank you so much for all the insights and stories that you've shared with us today, PJ. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful. Hope it was a good conversation. Hope the listeners enjoy it.
And that's all we have for this episode of the Property Management Show, brought to you by 4&Half Marketing Agency. Since 2012, we have been helping property managers grow their business by attracting more owner leads through marketing. Whether you need help with your website, SEO, online reputation, video and blog content, social media, email marketing, even paid advertising like pay-per-click on Google or Bing, just name it and we can help you. Visit our website, 4andhalf.com, to learn more. That's FourAndHalf.com. And we always welcome feedback. So if you have anything to say, good, bad, suggestions for future episodes, we would love to hear from you. Just send us an email through marketing@fourandhalf.com. And if you are enjoying our show, please go ahead and show us some love by giving us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. We really appreciate you tuning in, and we will see you next time. Bye.